listening
to the Modern Horrors
Podcast Network. The 60th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today we'll be discussing some films featuring ladies you might not want to bring home to your parents. The movies we're discussing today are the quirky indie horror films May and Teeth. For you new listeners, we are a spoiler-heavy podcast, so continue at your own risk. May is streaming on Tubi TV, and Teeth is available on Tubi TV and Netflix. So feel free to check these out before continuing with the episode. But before we jump into these films, let's get started with the segment that we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Annihilation, with the theatrical release date of February 23rd. It's written and directed by Alex Garland, who we're familiar with from Ex Machina. Or Ex Machina, or however the F you say it. I'm pretty sure it's Ex Machina or Machina. And I said it wrong the entire episode that we did on that film. I said it wrong. I know I did. It doesn't feel
like... But I feel like you stated it. You were like, I know that it's supposed to be this.
I feel weird saying Ex Machina. I'm going to be honest with you.
I think it's Machina.
I don't like it. I want to say Machina because I just feel less weird saying it that way.
That's
even
fair.
Though I know it's wrong.
I'm not even bummed out about it. Machina all day.
I know. But I re-listened to that episode and I'm like, I know that's wrong. It sounds horrible. And people are probably like cringing listening to me say that. Anyway, it's by the same guy that did that movie. The IMDb summary is, a biologist signs up for a dangerous secret expedition where the laws of nature don't apply. Did you know anything about this before watching this trailer?
Sure didn't. I literally saw that you picked this trailer and immediately thought of Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh.
That's where my brain went.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
You love Mortal Kombat, so.
I do so much.
I know. It's really weird. Not the game. Everyone loves the game. The movie, however, I don't understand that.
Absolutely, I do. The first one. The second one's a little rough, but the first one's so solid.
Carly, I got news for you. The first one is a little rough also, considering there's zero plot involved.
Golds. What do you mean zero plot?
Okay, explain the plot of Mortal Kombat to me.
What do you mean? It's the plot of the game. You basically fight other fighters. Well, there's also... what's his name? Now I'm like blanking on their names.
Johnny Cage.
Nope.
Katana.
Nope.
Sub-Zero.
Nope. The Bruce Lee guy.
Scorpion. I don't know his name.
I'm like totally blanking and it sucks.
Someone's yelling at you right now.
Liu Kang.
Liu Kang. That's right.
So his brother gets killed by,
Wow, this plot
this
is like really
not
exciting.
Going well. By Shao Kahn, right? I think that's his name. People are going to be so mad at me. So his brother gets killed, and so he's like going there to defeat Shao Kahn because he killed his brother. And so then everybody kind of teams up, and then they all do that. So that's the plot of the movie.
Carly,
and
that's
then, like,
I got
Raiden
news for
helps.
You. That's not a plot.
Whatever. It's enjoyable. Everybody knows it. Mortal Kombat forever.
Oh my god. So anyway, we're talking about Annihilation,
gold.
Not Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And I think that this movie looks awesome. Am I alone in this? I think it looks amazing, and I can't believe I haven't heard people talk about this before.
I want to walk into a bubble. It looks like they walk into, like, a bubble.
Yeah, they do. They walk into a bubble of mystery.
It's so pretty.
It's a mysterious bubble. And then there's crazy shit happening in the bubble that where the laws of nature don't apply, according to the IMDb summary. There's a part in this where like it literally looks like they're walking through a Salvador Dali painting. It's insanely awesome looking.
I am a little uneasy about like the things that like implanted in their bodies, in their arms and stuff. It makes me think of that movie, I think it's called The Ruins, where they're like, they go to Mexico and they're like on top of a pyramid that they're not supposed to go onto. And then like the plants are like getting into their bodies and like overtaking them because it's like a weird virus.
Never saw it.
I'm trying to think of the girl.
Ugh. So you think that this looks like that and that wasn't good?
Oh, no, I'm not saying it looks like that. I'm saying that like that part reminds me of it with like the plant matter getting under your skin and like being a weird virus type thing, maybe.
I'm just going to say it. I'm all in on this film. I think it looks awesome. I like there's like a fantasy aspect. There's a technological aspect. And then there's this weird supernatural sci-fi aspect. I'm all in. It looks fantastic. It looks beautiful. Natalie Portman is awesome. Like, what's not to like about this? That's who stars in it, right? I didn't just mess that up.
No, you didn't. That was correct. Okay. And okay. Then isn't Poe Dameron in it? Is that right?
I don't know who that is. So maybe. Could be.
Oscar Isaac. I think he plays her husband in the flashbacks that we see.
Oh, okay. I think you grasped this trailer a lot more than I did. like I didn't notice her husband in any flashbacks. And how did you know they were flashbacks? How could you tell? It's a trailer. Well,
because she said that he went on the mission, but like disappeared because it's a suicide mission. Why would he go on a suicide mission? So I'm assuming that it had to have been flashbacks because she wasn't there with him, because it seems like she went to go back to find him or something.
I did get that part, but I guess I didn't know that was her husband. I guess I just thought that was some dude.
I'm an Oscar Isaac fan.
So. You are like pro at like tearing apart this trailer. Like, I basically feel like I know the movie now because of you. Where I kind of felt like the trailer was cryptic, but you just kind of cracked the code right there in front of me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it. Anyway, check out the trailer, you guys. It looks awesome. I'm into it. I wouldn't say it's like horror, but it looks like it might have some horror elements. It's kind of, I guess, similar to Ex Machina or Machina. Well,
I'm assuming,
or whatever the hell you want to
like,
call
there's
it.
There's like a monster or something that they're looking for. Or there's, you know,
there's, yeah,
she,
there's like,
she sees a monster.
There's a supernatural element, but I don't know how horror. It's like a dark thriller. Maybe that's the same as horror. I don't know the difference. Whatever it is, it looks awesome.
Yes. It's got the chick from Thor 2 and Thor 3. Thor Ragnarok. Is that the third one?
I don't know. Why are you asking me questions you know I don't know the answers to?
I'm just asking the general you.
Oh, certainly aren't asking me. I don't fucking know that shit. You are pretty the sure. superhero person on this podcast, not me.
I think that's her.
All right. Well, let's go to our first film, unless you have more to say about Thor, Ragnarok.
That's all I got.
Okay.
All right. So we are going to start out with 2002's May, written and directed by Lucky McKee.
I love that name.
Who did The Woman, just one.
Yeah.
Just one woman. And All Teenagers Must Die.
Oh, our cheerleaders, I think. Isn't it cheerleaders?
I don't know. You wrote teenagers.
I know. I think I messed up.
All Cheerleaders / Teenagers Must Die.
I'm having a rough time. You guys, California's on fire right now.
It's true.
Our brains are elsewhere. We're still putting on a podcast, but fuck. Everything is falling apart.
My Target didn't have wine, so I'm just drinking a lot of caffeine and sugar right now.
We're just trying not to burn to death, really, is what's happening over here.
It's true. We're doing our best.
This podcast is a happy distraction, so I apologize if I'm mispronouncing movies and I write All Teenagers Must Die instead of All Cheerleaders Must Die.
Cool.
Sorry, continue, Carly. I cut you off.
You're good. The IMDb summary is, a lonely young woman traumatized by a difficult childhood and her increasingly desperate attempts to connect with the people around her is sent into a murderous tailspin.
Dun, dun, dun!
Exactly.
all cheerleaders die. It's not even all cheerleaders must die. It's just all cheerleaders die.
I wonder what movie you were thinking of.
I have no idea. Girl, I don't know anything anymore. I really don't. I don't even know. Look at what I just wrote. I just wrote cheerleaders. Cheerleaders.
Yep.
C-H-H-E-R-L-E-A-R-S is what just happened with my fingers.
This is our life now.
I'm useless today.
Lucky McKee of the famous The Woman and all...
all cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders die.
All cheerleaders die.
Cheerleaders.
So, okay, let's get back on track. May. I'm not even going to edit that. It's just going to be a giant mess, and that's just how it's going to be.
Beautiful.
Thank you. May.
May.
First time seeing it, maybe, you said. Did this last week, you weren't sure if you saw this or not.
Did not see this. I've seen the cover 8,000 times.
Okay. And how did you feel about it?
I thought it was super weird. And I kept being like, oh, look, it's that guy. Oh, look, it's that girl. Oh, look, it's that guy.
Yeah, we got Elton
From
Clueless. We
have Anna Faris.
Who's super young in this movie. It's like Anna Faris's first movie or something. I think it was even before Scary Movie or around the same time as Scary Movie.
Yeah. We've got James Duvall.
Mm-hmm.
It's
something it's, different.
It's so weird. I don't understand why they needed to give her a cross eye.
So, for those of you who haven't and are not planning on watching this movie or whatever, this is a film about a young woman who grew up with a lazy eye and didn't have friends and grew up with a crazy mom, like very, a mother who was very much a perfectionist. And she grew up with only one friend, which was a doll that her mother made. And she's a vet tech that's very into...
Hated it. Hated that.
Surgery and...
Hated it times a million.
Gore. And she just wants a friend. She just wants a somebody, but she's very creepy and creeps everyone out. And that's basically the plot of it. It's her trying to make friends with these people. She has a very large crush on Elton from Clueless. I'm just going to call him Elton from Clueless. Is that
as you should. Okay? As you should.
I mean, that's
I don't even remember his name in this movie. He's Elton.
He's Adam in this movie.
Not if you not
need
relevant.
It. If you need it.
Not relevant.
It is actually. It's 100%.
I'm sorry. Did you mean Elton?
Yeah, I meant Elton.
Exactly.
Elton and Adam kind of sound the same.
They do.
The early 2000s and like indie movies just make me so happy. Like there's something so, even watching this for the first time a few years ago, like there was something so nostalgic about it for me because indie films in early 2000s are just like a special breed. Like there's something about them that just makes me so happy because this was... I can't believe I didn't see this when it came out because it's 100% my kind of movie. And I love this movie so much. It's just like the weirdness and the quirkiness and the awkwardness. Really, really good music. And just it just makes me so happy. The music in this is fantastic.
I agree.
It's so, so good. The whole time you'll just be being like, oh. What song is this? I need to download this album. It's so good. You didn't love it? You just thought it was weird?
I really liked it.
Oh, okay.
I liked, I wish the murder things happened more. It was a little, and both movies are slow, but I feel like this one was a little draggy at times. I'm going to say something right now that will probably be very unpopular to the world, but that's okay. I don't enjoy Anna Faris as an actress. I really enjoy her as a person, but I feel like, and I don't know if it's just because of like the scary movies, but I don't like the way that like she speaks when she's acting. And I know that that's not how she normally sounds because like I've listened to her podcast before. But like I feel like she always sounds like she's really stupid.
She does do a kind of dumb blonde thing.
It bothers me. And like I can't get past it in a lot of ways for some reason. So even when like I watch something like this where she's not playing like a satire necessarily of a character like she does in like the scary movies or in that one movie with Ryan Reynolds, it still feels like that's where she's going. And so it removes me from it a little bit.
But in any movie I've ever seen her in, she does play a dumb blonde. Like that's her thing.
Yes, and I get that, but like it's always super over the top. And so when I'm seeing something like this where it's not supposed to be like complete, I don't know, like
isn't it though? Like I feel like it's perfectly suited for this film. Like
I just don't
I understand
know.
That you I, don't I can't like connect it. Like with I could it. I could understand you saying that you don't like it. But I don't think that it's out of place in this film. I think
that's fair.
That all the characters are really quirky. Like, May is super quirky and over the top. Elton's even really. A little quirky and over the top in some parts where I'm like, really? Like, the whole film thing is like his short film, his college project. It's very,
which is
like,
weird because that's like, I don't know. It's that part too kind of seems really random for me because he's a mechanic, but for some reason he's finishing up this film that he's not doing anything with. I don't know. That was kind of weird to
really,
me too.
Really? Because I feel like that makes so much sense. Because like, okay, here's how I feel about his character. So he was in college. He was making a student film and he dropped out or flunked out or something. And now he's working as a mechanic. So if you're someone that goes to school for film and you flunk out or drop out, like that's like you're always going to wonder what if. You're always going to want to like conquer that artistic twitch you have, you know? So it makes sense to me that he's like, okay, I'm a mechanic, but I want to do more with my life. So I'm going to work on my student film again.
I get that. But that's like all we see of it is just that one part. I don't know. There's certain things about this movie that like it just feels like I don't understand why these parts. Obviously, I understand why that.
I thought he was trying to impress her a little bit at first because she's so weird and artistic seeming, and he maybe wanted to like be like, look, I have like a weird artistic part to me too, and maybe.
See, I didn't feel like he was trying to impress her. I felt like he was trying to out-weird her.
Yeah, but that's trying to impress her in their own weird little way.
Okay.
Their relationship is super cute for like 5 minutes, and then you're like, oh, this isn't going to go well.
I didn't think it was cute because she's like all rubbing her face on his hand while he's sleeping, and that was weird. And I don't know, like, I did love and appreciate how awkward she was. Like, she couldn't, it made me cringe just, like, watching them when they were, like, making out because she couldn't, like, figure out where to put her hands. And I was like, this is so bizarre.
She's very awkward. It's really, yeah, but at first it's, like, charming awkward where it's, like, I remember being obsessed with boys and waiting by the phone for them to call me and watching them from afar. And sure, I remember all that. And it's almost reminiscent, like, the part where she puts her face in his hand is almost, now, again, I'm going to bring Gilmore Girls into it. So, like, you and Elizabeth know what I'm talking about. What up, Elizabeth? But, like, the episode in, like, early Gilmore Girls where Lane puts her hand through her band crush's hair, you know?
And yes, then freaks and she's out like, and runs why away. Did I just do that?
Yeah, it's very reminiscent of that where it's, like, cute schoolgirl crush type actions. And then it just gets, once she starts to get comfortable and feel like, oh, okay, he likes weird, I can be myself, and she is herself, that you're like, oh, no, don't do any of that stuff. And then it gets worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
I will say you know, Elton proves to be an asshole. Like, he sucks. He's not a good guy. He's weird, and he's not in a good way, and he obviously has a girlfriend the entire time he's with May, right? Like, he's acting the whole time like he has a girlfriend when they're in the laundromat for the first time, and she points out his, like, silly underwear, and he's like, oh, my girlfriend got it for me. He was being honest. He probably has a girlfriend that got them for him, and he's acting like he didn't. And when
I don't know if I really thought he was an asshole, though. Like, I feel like if some chick bites your lip off, like, you're going to be weirded out and you're going to want to leave. And I feel like it makes sense. The only part that it, like, seems assholeish to me is when she's like goes to his house and he's like smoking outside. And he's like, oh, yeah, like that crazy girl, May, or whatever. I broke up with that crazy girl or whatever. But like when he goes into the laundromat, like, he tries to like talk to her, but then it's so weird, then he leaves, but then he like also comes up to her in the park and like tries to talk to her and like be friends.
He goes,
so I don't really necessarily think he's an asshole. I just think like he got weirded the fuck out,
maybe. And maybe it's just like his acting style where it's very like, I don't know, but
where he's Elton,
where they exactly, he's very Elton in this movie. He's adult Elton in this movie. That wasn't rich ever. But there's a part where he, like, the first time they kiss, and he's like, where did you learn how to kiss? Like,
that's, I mean, she attacked his mouth. I get it.
That's, like, not a nice way to say, oh, okay, let's slow down. Obviously, she's never kissed someone before. Like, he's just being, like, really mean. I don't know.
I get you.
I thought that his character, I felt little sympathy for when he died. But, like, Anna Faris's character, I didn't understand why May wasn't happier to be friends with her.
Probably because she just felt like she was being used.
Maybe.
It's the same thing with Elton's character, is like, she thought that this was hers and that she was finally connecting with someone, and then he's got a girlfriend. And then she thought, oh, this person's interested in me and she wants me. Oh, but now she's got a girlfriend.
I guess that's true, but she was always just so sweet to her that it didn't, I don't know. I always just felt like, you know, like Anna Faris's character is just like a pansexual. She just wants...
But May doesn't get that.
Yeah, I know. But she's just, you know, she's all for love and everyone. But Anna Faris's character really doesn't understand the concept of accents and people being from other countries, which is somewhat troublesome. What's a scoople? You mean scalpel?
Oh.
There's a lot of dark humor in this film, which I love. Dark humor is my favorite. Early 2000 dark humor is my favorite. Ghost World is probably one of my favorite movies of all time. I just love it so much. This is very similar to me in terms of like...
Ghost World's great. I love Drop Dead Gorgeous also.
Yeah. Just like dark... Early 2000 dark comedy is just so fantastic. And this film has a lot of that. And I love the part where she invites Adam Elton over to her house for dinner and makes macaroni and cheese and like has wine glasses of Gatorade.
Me too, girl.
It's the best thing ever. I don't know what.
I'll make you some spirals any day of the week.
It's so good. It's like there's just something so cute and innocent about her, and she's also a psychotic maniac.
Yeah.
She's so delicate. You know, she just, the blind kid scene was really something, like with the glass and the kids like being trapped on the glass and not being able to find their ways out, and just everything's covered in blood. There's a lot of really good imagery with blood. There's blood and milk. There's children crawling on glass. There's
I was like, why are you rubbing your eye? Stop it.
Yeah, there's a lot of that eye stuff. There's the scene where she bites Elton's lip and she's like covered in blood and happy about it. Like, there's a lot of like crazy blood imagery in this film that's really effective, really simple, but highly effective. Because we see blood so often in film that we're like almost desensitized to it. So you have to do something different with it to kind of make it have the same effect, I think. And this film is good at that. There's a couple films we've seen where they mix blood with milk. I don't know exactly why that is, but it's very effective. Especially the contrast of red to white.
Yeah, totally.
And there's a lot of, children on glass, too. Like, you never see children crawling on glass in films. There's something very, cringeworthy about that. I just really love this movie. I think it's so much fun, so darkly funny, and it's just a really fun, fun movie that I enjoy.
It is fun. I liked it, too.
Yeah, I'm glad you liked it. Okay, should we move on, then? Do you have anything else you'd like to add about May? Should we talk about the punk guy a little bit? I feel like we should at least talk about the punk guy a little bit. Because
I love him. He's from Doom Generation. And also, most people probably know him from Donnie Darko.
Oh, yeah, Donnie Darko.
Frank.
Frank from Donnie Darko. Yeah. His character is the goofiest character I think I've ever seen.
I felt so sad when he died because I was like, he didn't do anything. He's just like trying to be nice and then like wanted to like ice his nipples or something. Yeah, like what was going on with
it's
that?
It's so hot. It's so hot. I have to take off my shirt. He takes off his shirt and he has a Frankenstein tattoo, which is so clever because there's very much a Frankenstein monster.
Yes.
Whole sequence in this film. And then there's, do you have any ice that I can put on my nipples? Like, he's the most polite, strange punk guy I've ever met in my life.
Do you mind if I take off my fishnet shirt because it's hot out?
I've been eating jujubes and now I'm hot. Can I take off my shirt and then put ice on my nipples, please?
Oh, he's great.
Okay, I'm done talking about me now. I just really wanted to mention that guy because he's insane.
Fair. He's great.
He is great. All right. Let's talk about Teeth now. Teeth from 2007, written and directed by Mitchell Lichtenstein. Lichtenstein?
Am I saying
like Lichtenstein?
Lichtenstein.
Lichtenstein. Lichtenstein. That's it. I got it. Mitchell Lichtenstein. The IMDb summary is, still a stranger to her own body, a high school student discovers she has a physical advantage when she becomes the object of male violence. Man, this movie. So, Carly, what did you think of this movie?
So, I'm actually really surprised it took me so long to see this movie.
Me too! I just watched it for the first time 2 weeks ago.
Because I've known about this movie basically since it came out.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that sounds great. I remember seeing the trailer. I remember wanting to watch it.
Yep.
For some reason, I just never followed through.
Yeah. Same with it. Same here. Same here.
Yeah. It was, again, a little slow, but I enjoyed this movie more than I enjoyed May. It has the kid from Nip Tuck in it, who always looks really weird to me. I feel like he kind of looks like Michael Jackson a little bit. The brother.
Okay.
A lot of things like that make you feel really uncomfortable as a woman watching this movie.
I think it's more so for men, though. I'm going to be honest with you.
I mean, from the other side.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's quirky and like weird and funny and also scary because it's so uncomfortable sometimes. I got some Saved vibes too a little bit from it.
I was going to say that. I have that written in my notes.
Yeah, like
the whole beginning of this movie is very much Saved.
It made me want to watch Saved so bad.
I love Saved.
So yeah, I enjoyed it and it was another weird movie that I liked, though.
I think the funny thing about this movie is I was expecting more of like a cheesy horror film or like a more horrific horror film. And I got something very unexpected here. And I think if I knew it was more of like a quirky indie thing, I would have been seeing it a lot faster. But I do, I agree with you. Like everything you said rings true for me also. I remember hearing about this movie. I remember being excited about this movie. It just never happened for whatever reason. And Tony... I was trying to get Tony to watch it with me, and he was like, no, there's no way, like, I'm gonna watch this, because I don't think I can watch dicks getting chopped off, you know, like, I don't think I can do that. And, you know, I was watching it, and he happened to be in the room, and he's like, this is actually really good. And I was like, it is really good, and it's got, like, a really over-the-top, but also smart way of storytelling that I really appreciate. And this is, again, like, a very... early 2000s type thing. And again, you're right, it came out around the same time. Well, it came out after Saved, because I remember I was in college when Saved came out. But it has a very similar feel to it. It just has this added horror layer to it, which is fantastic. And it's silly, and it's intelligent, and it's just really well done. The characters are really good, but it's got the same kind of thing where the characters are kind of over the top. You know, no one's really very realistic. Everyone is a realistic character and then kicked up a notch, you know, taken up to the next level of where it's like cartoony almost. You know, the brother's a badass, but no one's quite as terrible as he is in real life. And, you know, like, the girl is very pious and sweet, but no one's quite that good and pious. You know what I mean? Like, it's, they're caricatures of themselves, I suppose. Caricatures of real people, of stereotypes. And it's just really, I just really enjoy it a lot. And when I saw it 2 weeks ago, I was like, I instantly need to do an episode on this because I enjoyed it so much.
I appreciate it because I probably would have pushed it off a little bit more.
I know. And I told you, not. I was like, I just watched Teeth and you have to. Like, you have to. That's why I was like, I'm just going to do an episode on it. Then you have to watch it. There's a funny, like, there's like, I don't know, there's weird throwbacks to things. There's a Simpsons reference with the power plant smokestacks, which during, apparently in The Simpsons, whenever they show the smokestacks from the nuclear plant, there's a crow cawing in the background, and they do that in this film as well every time they show it. Little throwback reference to Simpsons.
Interesting. I didn't notice that.
And also, we come to believe, I mean, just from that imagery alone, we come to believe that, A, that's probably why her mother died, is because she was dealing with living next to this power plant, and also maybe why she has a birth defect of this vagina dentata. If you're not familiar with Teeth, it's about a woman with teeth in her vagina. If I hadn't mentioned that yet, if you're not familiar somehow with this movie. That's what it's about. And she gets attacked by men several times, and those teeth come in handy.
Yeah, when you don't want to make her mad during sexual relations.
No.
She has the ability to ruin your day.
Hey, I just want to say that this movie is like a breath of fresh air for any woman who's tired of hearing about all the garbage going on in the world right now, especially in America, especially with some of our beloved comedians / actors / politicians, and also not so favorite comedians / actors / politicians. It's just really, it's not surprising, but it is still pretty rough. I'll be honest, like, the Louis C.K. thing fucking hit me hard because I really love him and considered him a wonderful ally, and now I want to punch him in the nuts. Or nose. Nose is good too.
Both hurt.
Yeah. One more than the other, I'm thinking. True. But yeah, no, this movie is just like, I had no problem watching it twice in like a month because it's therapeutic almost.
Yeah, no, it's really like weirdly empowering.
Yes, it really is. Because our main character, Dawn, is like a sweet, pious young woman that is very much in control, but also dealing with being a teenager with hormones. And she goes through some shit, and she has to learn about reality really quick. Quicker than most people have to. And just watching her, like, turn into this badass is so satisfying. Watching her, like, become this fragile, constantly questioning, meek young woman to this, like, queen of badassery is really satisfying and fun to watch. And there's some penises lying around in the meantime.
They just flop right out.
There's a lot of peen flopping.
Peen flops.
I love you. You're my favorite. Peen flops.
Oh.
Now I need to tell you the most disturbing, with all the peen flops aside, the most disturbing scene in this film. Carly, can I tell you my opinion on what the most disturbing scene in this film is?
Please. I wonder if it's the same.
Oh, do you want to tell me yours first?
Nope, I want you to go.
Okay. The most disturbing scene to me. Okay, they're at the lake and they're swimming around and they're having a lovely time and they're kissing, and then Dawn crawls up into the sex cave. So there's this cave, by the way, where teenagers go to have sex, and there's like a bed and like a blanket there.
What? Yeah.
Okay. She crawls into the sex cave and then puts the sex blanket around her.
So no! Gross.
What are you doing? That so blanket gross. Is the most disgusting thing in the universe. It's the... There's no way. Why?
I thought the same thing. I was sitting there like, no. You don't know where that's been.
Why are you putting the sex blanket on your back? Don't do that.
Oh, it's like, I don't know if it's just because, like...
Now your back has gonorrhea. Congratulations.
Like, living in LA, there's a lot of homeless people. And so you always see, like, bedding...
Sex blankets.
...around.
Yeah.
And just, like, immediately that popped into my head. Like, you would never just, like, sit on one of these, like... weird,
no,
like, ambiguous blankets and wrap yourself in it.
Fuck no, you don't, because it's disgusting.
I'm glad you were so as grossed gross. Out by that as that, I was.
See? Was that yours too?
Yeah.
I love it.
It was like the queasiest I felt in the whole movie. I was like, oh god.
No, seriously. No. You guys, there's dicks being bit off left and right in this movie, but like the hardest part to watch is when she puts a sex blanket around her.
You don't know where that's been.
I love that you thought the same thing.
I was like, I need to go take a shower. It wasn't even me. Where's my hand sanitizer?
Oh, I can't believe Toby was such an asshole.
I know.
Didn't you love him at first?
I did. He was so like, aw.
He was so He was so wonderful. A lot of the guys in this movie are like, they start off as wonderful and slowly morph into these terrifying human beings. But isn't that just the way it is, though, sometimes? Damn. But yeah, that broke my heart. I was like, okay, here we go. Now the movie's going to change. And then it did. Yeah. But their relationship was so sweet and, like, innocent and, like, wonderful at first. And then that happens. Everyone that gets something cut off deserved it.
True. Mostly... Toby, the doctor.
Yes.
And Brad.
Yes. Did you feel bad for Kyle?
Who is Kyle?
The sex bet guy? No, not Kyle. His name is Ryan. Sorry.
Ryan.
Did you feel bad for Ryan? The sex bet guy?
I didn't feel bad for Ryan, but...
You felt a little bad for Ryan.
I didn't feel... Like, he like, asked her if it was okay. Like, it's shitty that he made a bet. But it wasn't like he was rapey like all the other people.
That's true. He wasn't, well.
Oh, he, like, I guess when he answered the phone. Okay, so maybe he.
It was a little bit not, I don't know that it was rapey, but it was definitely a.
It definitely crossed a line.
It crossed a line for sure.
It wasn't like, like as it wasn't rapey like the other all the other people were like
he was dishonest super evil. And was yes. dishonest in a very vulnerable time.
Yes.
And took advantage of her vulnerability and gave her drugs, by the way.
He did. But he was also very attentive to her sexual needs.
That's true. He was.
He had his little vibrator.
Which is why he was rewarded the first time they had sex by not getting his dick bit off well,
exactly.
by her vagina teeth.
And he asked her, he was like, oh, like, do you want me to stop? And she said, no, but no. you maybe shouldn't do right. this because right. this could be bad.
But then he said, oh, I'm your hero.
Exactly. Your hero. He's like, I'm going to conquer it. And she was like, all right, conquer me. Let's do this.
The reason that scene is so important, though, is so you don't feel bad for her.
Right. She has the opportunity to not bite your penis off.
She has the power to enjoy sex and also to make sex torture for you.
Exactly. If only we could all have that.
Oh, God, couldn't we? Is there like
is that a thing?
Vagina dentata surgery we can get? Watch out, guys.
Surprise! You never know. Imagine how good on like great behavior dudes would be.
I really think that would solve most of our problems as women.
I 100% agree.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
Vagina dentata modification.
That doctor. Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. That was horrible.
That was horrible.
Who was that guy, though? He looked familiar.
He's been in things.
I should hope so.
I feel like he was in like Law and Order or something, like SVU. He looks really? Like a guy
I'm
that was in SVU.
More like he was on Mad About You or something.
Now I'm gonna look.
Yeah, please do. It's driving me nuts.
Okay. He was on Law and Order. Okay. SVU.
And Mad About You?
I'm looking for Mad About You. Oh, okay. He was a recurring character on SVU, and he was on Criminal Intent.
I feel like he was on a comedy.
He was on an episode of The Cosby Show. He was in... Oh, he was the voice of Raphael in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, well, that must be it, then.
That's a fun fact. Star Trek Deep Space Nine... Phone right. booth.
We can just let it go. It's fine.
All right.
The scenes where the vagina dentata biting happens, there is sleepaway camp music from the end of the movie. At least it's very reminiscent of the sleepaway camp music from the end of the movie. It's like da da da.
Totally. Da. Yes. Yes.
I'll
do
play
it again.
Here. I'll play it here. But it's like very over the top, over dramatic, like music. And it's fantastic. It happens every time. And I just love it so much. And I don't think I thought that, or I don't think I caught that the first time. But the second time, I was definitely like, oh, that's sleepaway camp music for sure. I'm so glad that you enjoyed this movie, too. I feel like I hear people making fun of this movie a lot, joking about this movie a lot. But to me, yes, there's definitely a comedic aspect to it. And there's definitely a weird, quirky aspect to it. But I also think it's very smart. And it has a lot of symbolism. And it is pretty awesome. Like,
I really think it is. I thought it was great.
And I think it bothers me a little bit. I just hear people like saying that, you know, it's a silly movie or it's a goofy movie. But I think there's like really a deeper message here.
Oh, and totally.
And a lot of like really interesting imagery. There's a lot of snake imagery, which is really fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, like forbidden fruit, Adam and Eve type imagery. It's just, to me, just really, really good. Like on many levels, and I think it's underappreciated, and people laugh at this movie, which yes, you should. It's a comedy, but it's also deeper than that to me, at least to me. And maybe it's just the climate of our lives that's making me reevaluate it in that way. But
sure, No, that makes sense, I think.
Yeah, I just really love it. I had no problem watching this movie twice in like 2 weeks. I really had no problem with it.
I don't think I would either.
And I know you said it was kind of slow and that May was kind of slow, but I will say upon rewatches, they're not slow. At least to me, I didn't find... I felt it a little bit more the first time I watched it than I did upon second watching. Especially this film. I felt like it was much faster paced than I remembered it being.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah. There's just like more to catch maybe. It's great. It's just great. Okay. Is there anything else you want to talk about?
No. I will watch this again, most likely.
Yeah. It's great. It's really fun. And I love it. Okay. Great movies this week, guys. I really recommend all of them if you haven't seen them. Okay, well let's do our last segment then, Carly. What's that one called again?
Social media question of the week.
What's this week's question?
What is the strangest date you've ever been on?
Yeah, so we were having a hard time thinking of questions, and I was like, you know, there's not a question I can think that's gender neutral and
totally.
And gonna work for our listeners. So let's just ask this question, because these are some crazy dates that these people go on, and we figure you guys might have some stories. I might have some stories. Carly might have some stories.
So. I was really excited about this question. I was like, I just can't wait.
So some of these get really long. Namely, Justin's response is really long, but it's worth reading. So let's just get through these. Go ahead.
All right. So we're gonna start with Instagram. Black Cat Horror Meme says, went to a nightclub with a woman who was studying modern dance in college, but when we started dancing, I discovered that she danced like Pee Wee Herman with a hot foot.
That's it. Just that part.
So good.
Christina, and former victim of Let's Make a Monster fame, Christina says, I was visiting my parents in Beaumont, Texas, and went on a date with a guy I had been talking to on a vegan dating site. It was storming, and there was nothing vegan in Beaumont, so we went to a Thai restaurant. The restaurant was closed, so we went back to my parents' house to hang out. Well, the power was out from the storm, so we made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and drank gin and tonics by candlelight. We're still friends.
I love that.
That's very sweet.
Okay. What? Go ahead.
Oh, this next one's also for my friend Hope that's visiting right now.
Awesome. So yeah. We've got Hope, who says, when I was in Brazil and dating my husband, I accidentally went on a date because I don't understand Portuguese as well as I think I do. We hiked way up into this remote area. I was definitely slightly afraid it was going to end in a horror movie fashion, but he was understanding and polite, although kept telling me I could also have a Brazilian boyfriend.
Yeah, apparently they said they hiked through this like crater valley with him that was like, I don't know,
like
amazing.
Not something you want to do with a stranger, but yes. Really cool also.
Yes, and they got to this part and there's like all these people making out and like under the stars and moon, and Hope was like, no. No, this isn't gonna work for me.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Facebook. On Facebook, we have Jonathan W, who says, I was on a third or fourth date in college with a girl who said she needed to drop something off at her church. It ended up being a ruse to get me to attend the service with her parents. And the parents knew a lot about me. Stuff I didn't even remember telling her. I was also pretty sure she'd given her parents the impression we'd been together for a long while, and I'd only known her like 3 weeks at this point.
Yikes.
That's terrifying.
That's a May story if I ever heard one.
I thought it was more like teeth. There's a religious aspect to it.
All right. So we have Justin's story. There is a trigger warning on the story as it mentions suicide. Just want to get that out there.
Yeah.
All right. A few months ago, I went out with a girl I went to college with. She was in town to take care of her mom, who was recovering from surgery. We get dinner, and afterwards, she asks me if I want to go to the house where she was abducted by aliens. Immediately, I think she's fucking with me. But she 100% seriously tells me this story of how, quote, aliens with faces like magnets pushing at each other, unquote, phased her through her ceiling as a teenager. We then went to a cemetery and walked around at night, which is fine. I'm still freaked out about the aliens as we're driving home. And at one point, we're stopped at railroad tracks and she starts talking about her brother. She tells me to look out my window at a power station next to the tracks and tells me where that's where her brother laid across the tracks and let a train run him over. I immediately go into a full-blown panic attack.
That's Justin for you. He certainly wasn't a full-grown panic.
Yes, I believe it. I might too, though. That's weird.
No, everyone would. That's crazy. Yeah.
We go back to her place and I'm still a mess. When we get there, she starts talking about how her grandpa was in the army and probably saw a UFO and how we should go out to the shed where his army chest was and see if we could find anything. As we're walking out back, her dog runs through a screen door that was missing the screen due to a renovation. I, however, think, fuck, that dog just phased through that screen door. The aliens are here for me. We go out to the shed and get her grandpa's army chest, where she informs me her own father had passed away right where I was standing in the yard a few years prior. We get this chest back to her house and we're going through it. And shockingly, we're not finding anything alien related. Dejected, she holds up a postcard her grandpa had sent his parents from Mount Rainier and offhandedly asks if I've ever been there. All I had to say was no. But instead, I say, no, but back on Easter, back on Easter in 1947, pilot Kenneth Arnold saw 7 flying discs over Mount Rainier, and that's where the term flying saucer comes from. She hugs me, tells me that this is the sign she was looking for, and then thanks me for going out with her. Oh, and she apologized for eating a marijuana edible just before our date.
You win the internet. I don't even know how that story's real, but I know it's real.
I love all I had to say was no.
That's so Justin, though. The story has just... I wish that he just read it for us. Like, I should have just asked him to, like, read it and then, like, send us the audio for it. Because there's, like, him telling the story is probably amazing.
So good. Like, This American Lifestyle.
Yes!
That would have been so good. Next time, we'll have to remember.
I think we need to have a side podcast where we just get Justin to tell us crazy fucking stories.
And then, Justin, you down? God, I hope so.
We love you, Justin.
We do, 100%.
Oh my God. Okay, and then we have Trev, who's a writer for Modern Horrors, wrote us in and said, he met up with a chick for a drink once. She showed up loaded and was asked to leave at the bar. I had to throw her over my shoulder to get her out. She was freaking out, telling me to leave her on the sidewalk, and refused an Uber and a cab on me. She asked if she could sleep it off at my place, and then tried to have intercourse with me, but I'd seen way too many after-school specials for that to happen, so I respectfully declined. I woke up at 4 a.m. because she was having a conversation. I figured she was on the phone asking for a ride home, but it turned out she wasn't on the phone. She was just having conversations with multiple people who weren't there. I asked her the next day if she had The Shining.
That's so clever. Oh, Trev, that's great.
That's a good story, too.
Okay, so you have some stories.
God, do I ever. But... none of them are like that. They're more just like really bad dates. like some of these are really sweet or some of these are really horrific. Mine are just like weird. Like, you know, I went on a date once with a guy I met on like OkCupid or one of those dating websites. And I picked him up because I didn't want him to drive me around. For some reason, that was better in my head. I don't know if it was safe or not. It really probably wasn't. But, like, I picked him up, and he took me to a pizza place. And after we got our pizza and sat down, he started crying. It was... which, there's nothing wrong with men crying. It's just a very strange time to start crying.
It is.
I think he was going through some emotional stuff. So that was a very weird date. I've also had a guy tell me on a first date that he liked the way my ears stuck out. That was nice.
That's amazing.
I also was dating a guy once and he called me at 2 a.m. And I know what you're thinking. Booty call, right? No, he was lost and needed me to come find him and he was totally wasted. He had no idea where he was. And so, you know, I'd only been on a couple dates with him, but we clicked and he lived not far from me and it seemed like he was not in a good spot. So I like, He's like, I think I'm near a Burger King, and I drove around for like 40 minutes looking for him. And then I never heard from him for like 2 days. And then he was like, oh, did I call you? I had no idea I called you. Like, he totally didn't know he called me.
That makes it the best.
Yeah. So though, I don't have any like legit, like full on stories like some of these people. I just had a lot of weird occurrences.
Yeah. It's come to my attention through this question, actually, that like I don't really date very often. It's like I don't date and then I'll meet someone and then we'll just click and just start dating.
Yeah.
But I don't like go on dates per se, which is kind of weird now that I've actually thought about it. And I'm pretty sure, did I tell that like weird ball story on a podcast?
I don't know if you told it on a podcast. I would just tell it again, because if you did, it was a long time ago and I don't even remember it.
Okay. So the weirdest occurrence that I ever had with a strange male, a male who was a stranger, I was at karaoke with a bunch of my friends and we were all sitting at a table and there was this really weird guy who was like kind of sitting across from us and would just like randomly like interject into our conversations and stuff. And all of a sudden, like out of nowhere, I don't even know what it's called. Do you know what it's like? It's like when someone has a crystal sphere and they like spin it on their hands and like do all this weird wavy stuff with it. It's got to have a name.
Techno ball dancing? I don't sure. know.
So like I'm just sitting there and all of a sudden this guy's hand shoots in front of my face with this like spinny ball thing and he's like trying to impress me. I'm pretty sure he asked if I liked magic. And I was like, I don't understand what's going on right now. All of my friends are watching like, what is happening? And I'm just like, that's so amazing, because I like am a nice human who's like, I can't be mean to people. It's a flaw. But it was so weird and it caught me so off guard. And I was just like, oh, that's great. And then like 2 seconds later, they called his name and he was like, oh, I have to go sing. And he gets up and sings Mr. Cellophane. And I was like, it was the weirdest, like, all I can think of is that it was literally like birds flashing their fancy feathers and dancing in front of like a mate trying to impress them. Because it was like the weirdest, like,
excuse me, sir, would you mind getting your balls out of my face? Like,
I was like, you are too close to me.
Get your ball and get out of here.
I've just never even heard of Mr. that Sullivan happening to anyone. And then singing to follow it up with Mr. Cellophane.
It
blew my mind.
It's really uncomfortable.
It was. It
I
was.
I don't think we can top that. I think we should just close out.
Okay.
Oh, my lovelies. Thank you for joining us this week. Please, please, please visit our website. You can find information about Troy from Cave Bastard, who created our song, Sequencing the Drone. You could find out about Jason Link, who created our amazing logo. You could also find links for our Patreon site and also for our merchandise shop, where you can purchase lovely things for your loved ones. We also have stickers to give away if you're interested in getting some stickers. All you have to do is share our podcast on social media or rate and review us on iTunes. And then send us an email, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com, and we'll send some directly your way.
Final Girls Horrorcast is sponsored by Elizabeth, Mikey H., Nick B., Jonathan W., Black Cat, Miss Tab, and the OT Gourmet Geek. We are available to stream on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Tuned In, and pretty much anywhere else that you can stream a podcast. We are also very active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter @FinalGirlsHC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast. We also invite you to join our Final Girls discussion group on Facebook. You can find that link on our Facebook homepage.
Thank you, Carly. All right. Well, that's it, I think, for this week. Do you have anything else you need to add, Carly?
That's all I got.
All right, guys. Well, until next week, then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye! Bye.